Thank you, Robin. Good morning. Good morning, family. I mean, what you've all just said... Ooh, sorry, I'll hold it a bit closer. Talk done. I'm going to go join Edge because they get cookies. So you guys seem to have got it sussed. Yes, thank you for having me this morning. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you. And I also wanted to say a huge thank you to Ruth Middleton, who's out with the kids, but Nay and Kerry for the talks the last 3 weeks. They've just been brilliant, haven't they? Normally in the summer, we kind of quieten down and it slows down. We have not slowed anything down. These talks have been great, and they've been loads to kind of chew on and wrestle with and get your head around. And I'm really thankful that we've got a group of people who are willing to hear from God and then share with us so eloquently. So thank you, ladies, because so far they've all been ladies. So it was actually quite funny. I was talking to Nate about her talk, and she's like, yeah, I started planning it like 6 weeks ago, and I did 4 or 5 different versions. I started planning this on Wednesday and went, okay, God, what are we doing? And there have not been 4 or 5 different versions. So I'm very thankful that God uses us in different ways and chooses different people who have different approaches. Thank goodness, because I'm not a 6 week kind of person. So this morning I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. In the Bible, those two are used interchangeably. In Matthew, he refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. Because back in those days, a lot of people didn't use the name of God as a mark of respect and honor. So instead of saying kingdom of God, they would say the kingdom of heaven. But when you see the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, they are one and the same. And the reason I want to talk to you about that is this. I was praying and asking God, what do you want kind of me to talk on Sunday? And I went for a walk with my dog. And I was thinking about the world. In the words of Sebastian from The Little Mermaid, the human world, it's a mess. Okay, I thought about the situation in Ukraine and Russia, thought about the situation in Israel and Palestine, the pain, the suffering, the misery. I thought about the riots that we had in the UK, the racial hatred, the persecution. I thought about the terrorist attack that was planned for a Taylor Swift concert in Vienna. I thought about the stabbings in the UK of children at a Taylor Swift dance party. I thought about the latest American pastor that I have trusted for years and learned so much from online, who has just had to step down because of historical sexual abuse of a minor. Another one. I thought about a friend who has just told me that she is no longer a Christian. She's no longer choosing to walk with Jesus. I thought about my marriage. It's always the case, hands down, that if Adam and I are writing a talk in the week leading up to it, oh, it's hard work, maritally. Basically, we just argue lots, always. And I thought about all this stuff, and I just started sobbing on my dog walk. Thankfully, there was no one else around, apart from my dog. And I just was like, God, we need you. This world is so broken. Like, we need you. It's a mess. The human world is a mess. Just that free will that you gave us, that was a bad idea. Take that away. We'll start again. Take it all away. Stop the bad things happening. And my heart just cried out, God, I need you. And I felt this absolute, like, longing, this pull in my chest right here. I don't know where you feel longing. I feel it right about here. And when I really long for something, I physically feel it here. And I just felt this longing for God to break in. And I was reminded, actually, of the verse in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, my God. My soul thirsts for the living God. And I was like, God, we desperately, desperately, desperately need you. My soul was thirsty for God to intervene. And then I was reminded, sorry, it's a depressing start, but it gets better. And then I was reminded of the wonderful prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And he really knew what he was doing, and he told us this one. As we've talked about already, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And my heart went, that's what we need, God. We need you. We need your kingdom. We need you to be in charge, because we're in charge at the moment. And quite frankly, we have made a complete mess of it. But God, we need you to be in charge. But what would that look like? Like, what would our world actually look like and be like if it was 100% ruled by God? What would my life look like if I truly allowed myself to be ruled fully by God? And how on earth do we get God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? Well, to start with, I want to just chat quickly about what is God's kingdom. I've been a Christian for a really long time, and the kingdom of God comes up quite a lot. There's quite a lot of things that get said about it, some that are very confusing, like the kingdom of God is now and not yet. Okay. It's an upside down kingdom. Okay. And I actually didn't know, as Robin said a minute ago, until doing some research, that it's the thing that Jesus talks about hands down the most when he was here on the earth. In fact, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, over 50 times. Okay, it's a big topic. But what is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? So a kingdom we tend to think of geographically. We tend to think, okay, it's a country, a state, a territory ruled by a king or queen. We are part of the United Kingdom. But biblically, a kingdom was not about a place, but more of an action. So it was the action of a king reigning or ruling over his people. So the kingdom of God is not about where God's kingdom physically is. It's about us living under God's rule and God's reign. The kingdom of God refers to the reign over the lives of people who enthrone him, who choose to put him on the throne of their lives and make him king. And it all started with Jesus. When Jesus actually started his ministry, his first time preaching, he says, "Repent." Well, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is here, is near." Sorry, let's try that again. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." It's here. It's here, guys. And through his ministry, he went on to describe what the kingdom of God looked like. And we've had some people this morning tell us what that is and what that looks like. And it echoes what Jesus taught us. It's peace. It's security. It's knowing that you're valued and that you're loved and that you are held by a wonderful, wonderful Father. And we continue to see what Jesus taught. So where the kingdom of this earth values the rich, the powerful, the beautiful, talented, God's kingdom is the opposite. That's why it's the upside down kingdom. We see through Jesus' teaching that in Jesus' kingdom, in God's kingdom, he says the first shall be last. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit or the humble in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." God values humility. The kingdom is a kingdom of love, of peace, of joy. The kingdom of God is invisible. It's not a physical place. Now, the Jews of the day, they were expecting this Messiah to come. And when the Messiah came, he was going to physically bring God's kingdom on earth. They thought that Messiah was going to come. He was going to wage a huge war, defeat all God's enemies. Then he'd receive great acclaim and God would make him king over everything. And the kingdom of God would arrive all at once with great pomp and glory. And here it is. But Jesus disagreed. He actually said once, he was being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus said, "The coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Oh, here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Or in the King James Version, I don't look it up very often, but I did this time. It says, "The kingdom of God is within you." Like, it's here. It's coming. It can't be seen or pointed out. You can't physically walk into it, but you can be brought into the kingdom of God when you choose to repent, when you change your mind, when you turn around and you decide to accept Jesus as king. It's something that happens in a person's heart. It was never going to be a political movement or a visible display of God's power. And the take-home message about the kingdom of God is that Jesus, the king, has arrived and he is establishing his kingdom as people repent and follow him. But it's not a quick thing. Oh, I wish it was a quick thing. I really wish it was a quick thing. Jesus consistently describes the kingdom of God in terms of slow, gradual expansion. Like a mustard seed, we talked about a second ago, a mustard seed. Tiny, tiny seed grows into the biggest tree, but that does not happen quickly. That takes a long, long time. And the same with the yeast. Yeast and it expands. It is slow. So the kingdom of God is now. There's that thing I said. The kingdom of God is now and not yet, which doesn't feel like it makes much sense, but it does make sense because what it's saying is that the kingdom of God started coming with Jesus, but it's slow. And when we look around us, it doesn't feel like this is the kingdom of God, because we know that God's kingdom is full of peace and joy and love. And we look around the world and we see hate and anger and disruption everywhere. And so we go, "God, where is this? Where are you?" And the reason that this is the state of the world is because not everyone has chosen to make Jesus their king. For now, we are living in the now and not yet. It's here, but it's not fully. And I like to think of it like a train. Okay, there's a train coming into the station. The engine There we go. Thomas, got it. Sorry. My son will be so ashamed I couldn't remember the name. The engine is Jesus. He brings in the train. He brings in the kingdom. And we see some carriages passing through, but it's a long train. And actually, the train has arrived, but it's also not fully arrived. Bit of a limited image, but you kind of get the picture. It's here, but it's not fully here. It's not until we see every single one of those carriages that actually the kingdom of God has fully come. Now, we are not going to see God's kingdom in all of its fullness until Jesus returns, until he comes back, the second coming. Now, I used to be terrified of Jesus coming back and the events of Revelation, partly because I just didn't understand them. I still don't understand them. But, you know, I thought it was all super literal, and I was like, well, that sounds terrifying. So I used to actively pray as a kid, Lord, don't come back. Please don't come back. Please don't come back. So that's partly why, because I didn't understand. Also partly because my dad played me the Left Behind films when I was like 9 years old. That is bad parenting. Don't do that, okay? It's just going to scare the life out of your children. But now, when I read about what the kingdom of God is going to be like in its fullness, I actually get excited. That same longing, that feeling here comes back in. It goes, oh God, I want that. Because when Jesus returns, the kingdom of God will fully come on earth. The reign of God in the new earth will be characterized by righteousness, right living, perfect justice, peace. Oh God, we so need peace. Love, joy, and prosperity. There will be no evil, no suffering, no sin, no death, or anything bad on the earth once the Lord has established his kingdom. Does that excite anybody else, or is that just me? Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? And this is what I'm like, God, that's what we need. Like, I look around at the world and I go, God, we need that. We need the no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more crying, no more illness, no more hatred. We need no more division. God, we need your kingdom here on earth. And I know that we are never going to fully get that until Jesus comes back. But that does not mean that we cannot have that in small glimpses whilst we are here on the earth. So for now, the kingdom of God is here partially, and we see glimpses of those things on earth through us. I actually follow on Instagram an account called the Good News account, and it tells stories of wonderful things that are happening. And my goodness, do I need to see those, because everything else seems really depressing. But actually hearing these stories of people who go out of their way to serve people, to look after people, to help people, and the wonderful stories that go along with that has brought me so much life. And that is where I go, these are glimpses of the kingdom of God. And I want to urge you as well, read the news, be aware of what's going on in the world, but also look for the good. Look for the good stories, the good news. Share. If you've got news of where you've seen the kingdom of God in your life, share it with your friends. Share it with your neighbors, because we need hope. We need that good news in our lives as well. So his kingdom is coming, and it's coming through me. Just me. No, I'm kidding. Through all of us, through every single one of us who chooses to make God our king. We are the hands and feet of God in this world. We are his royal subjects whose job it is to bring about God's rule. We're taught to love people. Let's love them. We're taught to act justly and love mercy, be merciful. I am not a very merciful person, as my husband will tell you. I need to practice mercy. We're taught to be peace bringers. And we're not going to do it perfectly or fully like it will be at the end of the age when Jesus comes again, but we can be small glimpses of God's kingdom in this world. Now, where does that leave us now? Well, when writing a talk, it's really easy to get really big picture. The kingdom of God enthroned in our hearts and all this sort of thing. And it's like, great, but what does that mean for me today? I like practical takeaways, things I can go away and think about really easily and clearly. So I'm going to try and bring it down from the big picture to the small. So let's find where I am on the page. Here we go. Yeah, found it. So some small and seemingly insignificant things I'll hopefully talk about, and also some things that are a bit bigger. So where do we go from that? How do we bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? Well, firstly, we can welcome God. It leaves us with the choice to be part of God's kingdom, to welcome him as our king into our lives or not. That is our choice. We can welcome him and we can be part of his kingdom here on earth now. We can choose to make Jesus the Lord of our life, our Savior, our King. But more than that, we can make God's kingdom a priority in our lives. It says, seek first his kingdom. Jesus is talking to some people and he's like, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. If I were to carry that on, I'd say, how are you going to pay the rent? If you're going to get that job promotion? How will the kids do at school? Like, don't be anxious about any of those things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. We need to make welcoming God, being part of his kingdom, a priority first, and everything else gets added after. Secondly, we can do as Jesus taught us. We can pray God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. And when we pray that, it's kind of twofold. Firstly, we're asking God for more people to have their hearts turned towards God. We're praying, God, may all the peoples of the earth enthrone you as king. May all the people choose to follow you and make you their king. We are praying, may everyone on earth know and do your will. This is really a plea for God to use us to spread the gospel. This is the thing. It's not enough to just pray. Because we can go, God, would you bring more people into your kingdom? Or how else is he going to bring people into his kingdom apart from through us? He doesn't often, I won't say never, he doesn't often appear in the sky and go, hello, it is me, follow me. Okay? If we're praying, God, would your kingdom come on earth? We're saying, God, would more people make you king? That's how a kingdom expands. More people get brought in and follow a king, okay? If we want more people to follow Jesus as their king, we need to flip in, tell them about it. We need to be the ones to go and say, there's this wonderful king I want to tell you about whose rule is wonderful and is so different to this world. We have to tell people. Okay, so we need to pray, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? We need to go and tell people. Now, sometimes we don't know what God's will is. There's a lot of division, even amongst churches, about what God's will is about certain things. Okay, we don't always know. So we just have to pray, God, would your kingdom come and would your will be done? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, God, would that be what happens? But also sometimes we do know God's will. We do know what God's kingdom looks like. For example, with our marriage, okay? I know what the Bible says about marriage. The Bible says that marriage is a three-stranded cord that should be knitted around God. Okay, so God should be at the very, very center. I know that a marriage is supposed to be full of love. And Corinthians tells us what love is supposed to look like. It's patient. It's kind. It is not self-seeking. In fact, I've got it written down here. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So when I pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in my marriage, actually I can pray really specifically, God, help me be patient with my husband. More patience. You're laughing, but man, do I need it. Not your fault, but man, do I need it. God, help me not to be irritable. God, help me to be kind. Show me what being kind to Adam looks like. Okay, so we can pray really specifically once we know what's in the Bible. And this is where I really want to urge you, read your Bibles, learn it, know it, learn it off by heart. Because when I was on that walk and actually got the Bible verse came into my heart, you know, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you and the God, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's because I know it. It's already in me. If I was out on the walk and I didn't have a Bible with me and I don't know what God's word says, how am I going to hear from God? So I want to urge you, read the Bible, learn the Bible, know what it's in it. Because then also we can pray it. We can pray, okay, God, I know what love looks like because you tell me what love looks like. So God, help me to love my husband in that way. There are certain situations in the world that we are never going to be able to affect massively, like the situation in Russia and Ukraine. I don't think any of us potentially in this room are going to be the ones to stop that. But we can pray. We can pray, God, would your kingdom come? God, would you soften the heart of Vladimir Putin? Would you reveal yourself to him? Would you show him what love looks like? Love for your neighbor, love for your enemy. You know, we can pray, God, would your kingdom come and your will be done in that situation? So we can welcome God, we can pray. And actually, I think I'd love us just to stop just for a second. And we've all got stuff going on in our lives where we need God's kingdom to come. We've all got situations, family, friends, whatever it is. And I would love us just to stop and in our hearts just say to God, God, would your kingdom come, and name those situations. And if you know what the Bible says about those situations, like if your marriage sometimes is a battleground, you know, pray about what God teaches love to be. Okay, so let's just take a few moments just to pray, just to stop and ask for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in all of your situations. God, would your kingdom come and would your will be done. Amen. So we can welcome God. We can welcome his kingdom. We can welcome his way of life, his rule over us. We can pray. We can also submit, obey. Now, I put that picture up because I really hate the word submit. I hear it and I'm like, bah! I also really hate the word obey. Bah! And I realize that's not a God thing, that's a world thing, because the world is constantly trying to not be dictated to by anybody. There's a fight for freedom, but it's not necessarily the right type of freedom. It's the freedom from anybody telling me anything I should do and holding me to account for anything. So I know that my response to the word submit, like in the verse, wives, submit to your husband. We're not going to go there, but I'm like, Okay, so submit. Submit to God's rule, which means do what he tells us. He's told us an awful lot. We've got a whole 66 books full of stuff that he's telling us. Let's do it. Let's read the Bible and allow Holy Spirit to work in us, to mold us, to shape us, to look more like Jesus. Let's obey what the Bible commands. Let's allow Jesus' way of life to change us and dictate what our way of life is and looks like. It's not enough for me to just pray, God, give me patience with my husband. God, help me be kind. Help me not to be irritable. I have to practice it. You can tell me this on Monday when I'm yelling at you. I have to be open to the Holy Spirit bringing to my attention that actually, Beth, you haven't been very kind to your husband this week. Actually, Beth, you haven't been very tolerant. You've been incredibly irritable. You've not been patient or kind. And when we hear that, it hurts. Change hurts sometimes. Being told, actually, you're not doing what you've been told, what you've been asked to do, hurts. It requires humility, not shame. The Holy Spirit will never shame you. But he will say, actually, Beth, you're not living up to the standard that we've got. You're not living up to the standard that you want to fully love your husband. Okay, so we have to be open to the Holy Spirit, not telling us off so stronger, but being like, actually, you're missing the mark a bit. Come on, let's do this. Let's do this together. We have to be open to practicing and doing what the Bible says. Now, I'm trying to submit to God in the big things, like marriage and parenthood and all sorts of things, but I also think that following God's kingdom and being part of his kingdom and allowing him to shape our lives actually happens in the small things as well. So I've got what might seem a really trivial example, but I hope you'll bear with me. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Now, I was watching Bridgerton season 3 the other day, and I was like, this doesn't feel lovely. This doesn't feel pure. Nae's nodding because we had a conversation about it halfway through watching it. We were like, I don't know if I should carry on. I did. that wasn't so good. But, you know, there's a lot of sex in Bridgerton that is outside of what God says is the best, which is married life, and what God says is right, and a lot of sex, and other things like that. And I was watching it, and I was like, this doesn't feel pure. This doesn't feel lovely. It's entertaining. The costumes are great. The music's great. And it gives me something to talk with my friends about because all my friends watch it. But it doesn't meet the criteria that God lays out in Philippians 4:8. Now, I could carry on watching season 4, 5, and 6 whenever they come out. Or I could go, okay, God, you call me in your kingdom to focus on things that are good and lovely and pure. And maybe that actually goes down to the smallest things like my TV habits. And I don't want to stop watching it. Like, I really enjoy it, okay? It's never going to be easy, but actually, it's going to be so much better for me. Also, it's really hard to watch TV that is not trash. So there might not be much to... You can watch Anne of Green Gables, that's lovely. but, you know, there might not be a whole pile of stuff that you can watch on TV, but maybe God's going, okay, maybe there's something better for you than TV. Now, this is just an example in my life. You might not have this stuff going on with you, but what are the little things? What are the small areas that God is saying, be part of my kingdom, follow my rule, do what I've asked because it's going to bring you life. So much more life than Bridgerton will bring you. Okay, what are the small things in your life that God is asking you to submit to obey? Part of submitting and obeying is, again, knowing what he said. It's so important that we know what our Bibles say. I just wish I could just stand and be like, read your Bible. I'm sure you do already. I'm preaching to the choir. Please know this, okay? I am absolutely preaching to the choir. Like, I need to read my Bible more. I need to know what it says because how am I going to follow it if I don't know what it says? Okay, so how can we bring God's kingdom on earth? We can welcome him, we can be part of his kingdom, we can choose to follow him, we can pray, God, would your kingdom come, your will be done. We can submit and obey to what he asks us to do. And finally, we can wait. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is Psalm 27. It's quite long. This is just a small bit from the end, but it fills me with so much hope. It says, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. We have to wait for Jesus to bring his kingdom in his fullness. But we can also prepare for it. We're not just waiting, just sitting. We can actively prepare. Years and years and years ago, before I was married, before I had Isaac, before I was in Maidenhead, I had a dream. Now, God does not speak to me often in dreams. I kind of wish he did, but it's just the one time. And I had a dream that I was getting married. I'd woken up in my dream. It was my wedding day. And I had nothing ready. And if you've ever been married, weddings are stressful enough when you have months to plan. This was the day of my wedding. And I was like, I need a dress. I need flowers. I need someone to do my hair. And I eventually arrived there and I was like, okay, I'm ready. But I didn't feel ready. Okay. And I woke up from my dream and I was like, oh. And God really clearly said to me, Beth, I am coming back. You are going to be my bride. You are the bride of Christ. I would much rather you were ready for me. I would much rather you were ready for that day when I come than be caught unawares and caught surprised. And so we can wait for God. We can wait. We can be strong. We can take heart and we can wait for God, but we can also be ready. We can be bringing his kingdom on earth now in small glimpses. But we can be ready for his kingdom that is one day going to come in all its fullness.